placemaking, community, natural building, music, and art. During the daytime, there will be 35 natural building and public arts projects to take part in. During the evening, there will be food, speakers, musical performances, and more. Again, that's the 16th Annual Village Building Convergence, June 3rd to June 12th in Portland. Information on project locations, performances, speakers, and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Peacemaking and Connection, an experiential weekend workshop with 8 Shields PDX and John Young, taking place June 10th through 12th at the Cedar Ridge Retreat and Conference Center in Vironia, Oregon. The 8 Shields model provides a map to the principles and practices of peacemaking. Many conflicts can be avoided altogether, and conflicts that do arise can be managed with respect for all, with community balance and stability. Again, that's Peacemaking and Connection, an experiential weekend workshop with 8 Shields PDX and John Young, taking place June 10th through 12th at the Cedar Ridge Retreat and Conference Center, 18062 Kesey Road in Vironia, Oregon. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Friday, June 3rd, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real radio for real people at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. First, a little bit of weather. We've got some great guests for you today. We cover Cascadia's climate, at least up till Monday, if we still have climate on Monday. For today, partly sunny and then full blast with a high near 88. Not a lot of wind. Tonight, clear skies, lows around 64, light wind, and moving on into Saturday, sunny and hot. Hovering around 99 degrees, in other words, 100 degrees. Everybody knows that 99 cents is actually a dollar, so you don't have to fool around with that. And again, gusty winds as high as 18 miles per hour, which is extremely dehydrating. And for Saturday night, mostly cleared, lows around 66. Sunny and hot on Sunday, again, up around triple-digit temperatures. And for Sunday night, clear skies, the lows around 56. And after that, it's a Monday, and we're on our own. Joining us today, Matt Stannard with the Public Banking Institute, speaking about, wait for it, communal property. and how you go about being part of it. This is going to be pretty exciting. We've got also joining us just at the very end of the show, Barbara's going to be speaking about the Superfund site, Willamette River, and where we are right now as far as cleanup is concerned. There are big milestones right now as far as getting our river back to a condition in which one might actually want to dip a toe. It's really a historic moment. Although three or four decades ago, I believe the Willamette River was in pretty good shape, and not so much now. Just to briefly hit a couple of headlines, the California Senate passed the Overturned Citizens United Act, as that was State Bill 254. And democracy advocates from several local and national organizations, including Money Out Voters, Free Speech for People, and Move to Amend, are calling that the signatures again, this is another one of those moments in our political life. So that, and well, there is so much more, but there's so little time. So I want to welcome Matt Stannard back to the KBOO airwaves. Thanks so much for being with us today, Matt.
Thanks, Chris. It's always good to be here. Always good to hear your voice.
Well, this is really exciting. This is a subject that our listeners are quite keen on. You did an interview recently with a cooperative property specialist, Cassandra Ferreira. It's a wonderful interview, and I would really like to relive a few highlights from that and from a how to do it perspective.
Sure, and that's what she does. And so, she was a fascinating person, and it was a great interview.
So, what do they mean? What are we talking about when we talk about cooperative property with respect to land reform?
The big takeaway is community land trusts are one of the most common sort of new ways to do this. But what Cassandra does, and I would urge people to just go ahead and the name of the article is It's Time for a Land Reform Movement, and you can see it at Occupy.com. And what Cassandra does and what other people like her do is help people find intentional communities and community property, cooperative housing. And then what she does as basically a realtor, a cooperative realtor, is that she helps people collectively own things that are normally sort of in the real estate paradigm individually owned. And that the community land trust and those intentional communities that come out of those sorts of transactions end up costing people just tons less money. And if the community decides to do this, they can also use incredibly fewer resources. I know Dancing Rabbit Eco Village in Rutledge, Missouri, uses about 10% of the resources, fossil fuels, water, et cetera, that we use in mainstream society, and people live for roughly 10 to 15% of costs of what they would live elsewhere. So it's really quite revolutionary.
I want to talk about one of the questions that came up in the course of your interview with Cassandra. Why support land trusts, cooperatives, and these eco-villages? You just touched on some of the savings, but as myself, a permaculture farmer, mm-hmm. it's possible to grow healthy, intentional villages. What are the key elements that people need to be aware of?
I think the best thing people can do is look into the organizations that will guide you through that process and understanding that process. So you have the Fellowship for Intentional Community, is kind of the sort of grandfather organization of a lot of these communities. And, of course, you hit the nail on the head, which is, things like permaculture. And the key is that these work better in cooperative settings where people are not worried about transaction costs as much, and they're not worried about what they're walking away from in terms of profits. And so typically people enter into those arrangements because they want to save a lot of money and save a lot of resources, and also to sort of be a model for the rest of the country and the world. If we started implementing these communities everywhere and changed municipal laws and changed property laws appropriately, we could literally have a material revolution in the way that people live, permacultural living, as well as just a massive savings of resources.
And this, of course, is part and parcel of the public banking paradigm. You've been on the show in the past and spoken about various aspects of public banking, and this is a topic that I think we needed to speak a great deal more, a lot more shared on that issue. One final question I have for you is, what are the, if any, ties or inspiration for communal, this type of these intentional communal eco-villages, and First Nations, who had no concept of ownership of land, because it was like, how do you own air, or how do you own your own cells? The ownership of land was a concept that was laughable to indigenous people. It caused them a great deal of woe when it came to these treaties that they were forced to sign. But essentially, it seems ridiculous to think of owning land when you get right down to it. How does that concept, how is that incorporated into forming these types of living arrangements?
Well, there are many different types of communities, but as I've studied them and talked to people who live in and manage these communities, I find that, you know, there are, not only are there, you know, a number of people, many different cultures in the communities, but also certainly the white people that live in these communities, and people like Cassandra and others are deeply influenced by that paradigm, that indigenous paradigm that questions the concept of whether you can have ownership rather than stewardship, which I think is probably a better metaphor to explain the relationship to the property or the relationship to the land that people live. A lot of them are also influenced by the work of Henry George, who was an American economist in the 19th century that has very interesting land paradigms. And America itself has a huge cooperative tradition, both if you're talking about indigenous communities and if you're talking about a lot of the settlers.
Thank you so much for that, Matt.
Huge influences.
Well, we're out of time. We're moving on to actually the Willamette River and a communal effort to clean it up. One final word for you, from you, please, if you could, leave our listeners with a resource that to turn to right away to get started on building such communities.
Two things. Commonomics.org or CommonomicsUSA.org is my organization. Three things, actually. Again, I have people check out the Fellowship for Intentional Community. And, of course, people can go to this Occupy.com article and learn more about Cassandra Ferrara, who specializes, again, in guiding people through this process.
Yeah, she would be a hands-on person who does it. She's a realtor who builds these communities. Wow. We're definitely taking charge of our lives once again and together.
It's a very groovy time.
Growing stronger every day. Thanks a lot for that, Matt. We're going to move on. Barbara's going to join us now talking about the a public forum on the Superfund proposed plan. Briefly, Barbara, we have not much time. I want to let listeners know we will be revisiting this topic on Monday and throughout the week. There are a number of wonderful events in the not-too-distant future. Good morning, Barbara. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
So a little bit first about the June 21st event at Harriet Tubman School.
Yes.
So can you talk a little bit about the event and the Superfund, the Willamette River Festival that's come? Again, there's sure. so many of these different events that are coming up, all in the name of cleaning up the Willamette River, a notorious right. Superfund site.
That's right. Well, the event on the public forum that the Superfund Community Advisory is organizing for June 21st is going, as you mentioned, it's going to be at Harriet Tubman School. That's 2231 North Flint. It's going to be on June 21st at 7 to 9. And the purpose is to get public, to bring the public up to some awareness about what's being offered by the EPA. The proposed plan is coming out real soon, and actually about a week. And we'll have it by then, and we wanted to make sure people know what is being proposed, and then to give some feedback from community stakeholders who've been working on the process, and also get feedback from the community. So it's real important to involve the residents, because we're the biggest stakeholders in this whole cleanup.
And of course, this is one of those issues that pretty much everybody wants the Willamette River cleanup. But my question is, hasn't this been started in the past? What this is not actually a yes. new idea. So what is different, and where is this taking us now?
What's different is this is the 10 miles of the Willamette River between the Broadway Bridge and the confluence with the Columbia River that has been used for industrial purposes over the last 100, 150 years. And it's never been clean, and it's mainly pollution is in the sediments. And that gets problematic because it affects the life systems in the river, and it works its way up through the food chain.